I will be reading 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with.
I want y'all to know that Manny and I spend a lot of time together. Sometimes too much time together. But we spend a lot of time together. And he got me twice today. Already. Yep. If you have a copy of last week's bulletin, you'll notice that the scripture reading for today is the same as it was last week. Okay? And Manny looked at me and he said, "Did you intend for that to happen?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, I was wondering if you were just having a moment." Yeah. And then he gets up here and he's talking about splashdown. And he says that you've got to allow the children to be children or they grow up to be fuddy-duddies. Yeah, think about that a second. Yeah, that's exactly right. I've grown up and now I'm a fuddy-duddy. That's what it is. Amen, Kathy says. Yeah, preach on, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I intended to have the same scripture this morning, primarily because I was asked about what is perfect. Last week, if y'all remember, we were talking about gifts. We were talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about miracles last week that occurred during the time of the apostles, during the time of Jesus Christ. And we talked about those because they had a specific purpose. And remember, that specific purpose was that they did that to prove that the word that they were giving was from God. And that's what the miracles were for. That was what it was all about. But if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us that that which is perfect has come. When that happens, then that which is in part, which is the miracles and things like that, those would be done away. And if you also remember last week, I told you that miracles still occur today. But they're not like they were then. They're different now. They're different now. You don't see somebody coming up and raising them up from the dead. You don't see somebody coming up and raising the lame to walk again. You don't see those things happen. But if you are wise and your eyes are open, you see things like that happen, but not in the same manner. You see God working differently. And I told you that all we have to do is open our eyes to really see God, to see Him working each and every day. So if you will open up your eyes and you'll look around, you can see God at work. You can see it happening. Every one of these children that are up here today is God at work. I will promise you that. Because you can't be around a little child and not be joyous. You can't be around a little child and not realize that when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within them, that is exactly correct. We were with our granddaughter yesterday, and as we were pulling out away from their house, my granddaughter chased after Kathy. Kathy is her favorite. I am not. But Kathy is definitely her favorite. And she chased along the car and she said, "When you come back, will you play with me?" And Kathy, "Yeah, I'll play with you." Yeah. Yeah. Folks, miracles happen every day. When the sun comes up in the morning and you see that beautiful sky, you know miracles are happening. When the sun sets in the evening and you see that beautiful sky, you know that miracles are happening. And so when we talk about miracles, we realize that indeed, they do exist. But not like they were in the New Testament times. They're different today. Why are they different? Because that which is perfect has come. That which is perfect has come. So we don't need those things anymore. We don't need somebody to prove to us that Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth, because we have all the proof that we'll ever need. It's there. We're talking about that in our Bible class this morning, about how every nation in the world, every religion in the world, whether they believe that Jesus is the Son of God or not, believe that Jesus walked the face of this earth. You know what that tells me? It tells me Jesus walked the face of this earth. There is no question there. There is no question in my mind, there shouldn't be no question in your mind, that indeed Jesus walked the face of this earth. Jesus Christ is, and notice how I said that, is today the Son of God. And He sits on the right hand of God right now. Right now. He is our Lord and Savior. And so when we look at that and we realize that we don't need those things anymore to prove that these things are real. And the reason why is because we've got all the proof we need. It's there. It exists. So from this point, what you do is you either accept the proof or you reject the proof. That's where you are. And so realize that indeed, God is with us. Indeed, Christ is His Son. Indeed, there is no question in our minds. Because that which is perfect has come. Now let's start and let's take a look at exactly what has come and what is perfect. And as I mentioned just a second ago, Jesus Christ is perfect. In all ways, shape, and form. And in saying that, I want you to know that the reason why He is perfect is because He did two major things while He was here on this earth. Two things made Him perfect in the sight of God. Number one is, He did God's will. Not His own. Remember in the garden, when he prayed for God's will to be done, not His own will. The fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth not to do His own will, but the will of God, puts Him in a position that a lot of us struggle with. Because I want you to know that a lot of us struggle in the idea that we want to do God's will as long as it doesn't conflict with our will. Have you ever thought of that? Because I can tell you right now that that happens with a lot of us. That we want to do God's will, but only on our terms. You realize that in the garden, Jesus could have stopped it at any time. You realize that on the cross, Jesus could have stopped it at any time. He had the power, he had the ability to call down 12 legions of angels and completely destroy the world. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. And the reason why he didn't is because he was totally and completely committed to doing the will of God. Folks, that's what makes him perfect. And that's a lot of times what separates him from us is that, number one, he did fully the will of God. Not his own will, but God's will. And now, secondly, up here that I've got in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus knew no sin. He never sinned. In these two aspects of his life, totally and completely doing the will of God, and secondly, never committing a sin, that's what makes him Jesus, and that's what makes us not Jesus. Because we fall too short too many times in both those areas. But this is what made him perfect. He was perfect in every aspect because he perfectly committed the will of God. He did God's will. It made him perfect because he perfectly lived his life without any sin. None whatsoever. And by being that way, realize that made him that perfect sacrifice. None of us could be that perfect sacrifice because all of us have fallen short and all of us owe a debt. Jesus owed no debt. He had done everything perfectly. That is why when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then that which is perfect has come, then that which is apart will be done away. Realize that which is perfect, number one, is Jesus Christ. He came. He lived his life perfectly for God and for us. And he gave his life willingly because it was God's plan for him to do so. This is a major difference. Jesus, number one, is perfect. Number two, look at this. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. I've told y'all about this bumper sticker that I saw. I've told it many times. I've told y'all about it, but I saw this bumper sticker one time, and it says, what does it say? It says, the Bible said it, therefore I believe it, therefore that settles it. Period. The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. There is no debate. If somebody says something about the Bible that it's not God's Word, right there, 2 Timothy 3:16, you need to circle that. Because all Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. It is all God's Word. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it is all God's Word. And there is nothing out there in this world today that can replace God's Word. There are people who try, but it cannot. Because God's Word is the perfect way. It is the way that has been given to us so that you and I can get to heaven. And I've told you before, God's Word doesn't tell us everything, but it tells us everything we need to know. And I've told you before, just look at the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. It tells us everything we need to know about creation. In the beginning, what is it? God created. In the beginning, God created. You're John chapter 1. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. You know what? That's all I need to know. We can debate dinosaurs all you want to. But I'm telling you right now, all I need to know is that right there. And so the Bible teaches us everything that we need to know about creation in that first, very first verse, very first chapter of the Bible. That in the beginning, God created. That's all we need. That's all we need. But in that process also, as you look through the Word of God, you find people who were faithful to God. And you should emulate your life after those people. And you find how they did things and how they failed sometimes and how they succeeded. And realize that we too will fail from time to time, but we will succeed. Because at the end, what happens? We win. That's exactly right. Christians win. We're going to heaven. That's at the end of this time. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And not only does it teach us that, it teaches us the way to get to heaven. And remember what Jesus said about that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus Christ is the way. And therefore, we can look at this and we can know that the Word of God, who also is Jesus Christ, John, book of John, chapter 1, the Word of God is Jesus Christ, and realize this, that the way to salvation is written in these words that we have today. And therefore, if we follow that way, if we do what God wants us to do, then we will receive that gift of eternal life with God in heaven. It is not God's plan for any of us to perish, but all of us, everyone, to come to repentance. Everyone. So look at it from that standpoint. The perfect has come. The perfect has come through Jesus Christ. The perfect has come through the Word. And I want you to know this also, that the perfect has come through the church. Because folks, if you are part of the church, realize that the church is holy and blameless. The church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but is holy and blameless. This is the church. Realize that the church was established in Acts chapter 2. That's when the church became established. And also realize that in Acts chapter 2, that there were people being added to the church daily. Everybody were being added to the church. Those who would be, what? Saved. Every day they were being added to the church. The church is holy. The church is blameless. The church is perfect. The church is the bride of Christ. Therefore, realize that the church is also perfect. So when you read that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that which is perfect is come, realize first off, number one, Jesus Christ. Number two, the Word. Number three, the church. And then number four, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. It is established. It is there. It is waiting for us. It is perfect in every way. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. I love this part. Because as I told you before, the Bible doesn't speak as much about heaven as it does hell. Because we totally understand what pain and suffering is. But we can't totally understand or comprehend perfect joy. But these verses, Revelation 21 verses 1 through 4, tell us about the joy which is in heaven. And look what it says in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. That's this earth. The first heaven is the sky and the stars. That has passed away. And there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. You will be with God. You will walk and talk with God as Adam did in the Garden of Eden. You will be there together. And verse 4 is my favorite verse out of those verses. It says this, And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. For the first has passed away. Folks, that's total joy. No pain, no suffering, no hunger, no thirst. Total joy. Now, those four verses are my favorite example of what heaven is like. And if you continue reading on through chapter 21 and into chapter 22, you get more description about how heaven is. But I see those first four verses telling it all. Because we will be with God and we will know only joy. That's what heaven is. That which is perfect has come. Now, here's something kind of interesting. I want you to know, and this is very important for you to understand, God cannot be with sin. 1 John, you read 1 John, you realize John is speaking about having fellowship with God. And he tells us that if you live in sin, you cannot have fellowship with God. It doesn't exist. And so he's spending his time telling us that if we want to have fellowship in God, we need to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. And then we can have fellowship. But if we walk in darkness, then we cannot be with God because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So, with that in mind, how can we then obtain salvation when we ourselves have fallen short? We're not perfect like Jesus. We don't obey his will perfectly. We don't walk through this life without sin. So therefore, how can it be possible that we ourselves can be perfect? Well, you know what? We can't by ourselves. It's impossible. Therefore, we need something, don't we? We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. And therefore, we all deserve punishment. But someone paid our debt for us. Someone who was perfect paid our debt. Only someone who was perfect could have paid our debt. And so therefore, we become perfect when we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the only way for us to become perfect. Because when we stand before God in judgment, I want you to realize that if we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, all God sees is the perfection of Jesus Christ who lives in us. That's all He sees. He will remember our sins no more. And when the book of life is opened, all He will see is your name in the book of life. He will not see any sin that you've ever committed in your life. Thank you, Lord, for that. Because all the books of the world cannot hold all the sins that I've committed in my life. But if you have not been washed in the blood, then all God can see is the other books, which is listed every sin that you ever committed in your entire life. Every sin. And so therefore, if that is the case, that all He can see is every sin that you have ever committed, realize God cannot be with you. You're not in the light. You're literally in the darkness. And Revelation chapter 20 tells us that those whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast out into outer darkness where there is no light. There is no life. There is no hope. There is no joy. There is no peace. All you know is suffering and pain and agony for an eternity. So folks, what we must do is we must become perfect. And the only way that we can become perfect is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So unless you have been washed, unless you have been sanctified, unless you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not perfect. Therefore, you would be cast out. But folks, that which is perfect has come. The way to perfection has come. And that way is Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 tells us this. The one who overcomes will inherit these things. The one who overcomes will have God as his God. The one who overcomes will be called the sons of God. You will be a son or daughter of God. Glory to God the highest for that. It is because of Him. It is because of that perfection. It is because of the perfectness of Jesus Christ. The perfectness of the Word of God. It is because of the perfectness of the church. The perfectness of the kingdom. and the fact that God, through His Word, has given you the path for you, yourself, to become perfect in every way, that's how we become God's children. To be perfect because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And realize what this all comes down to. It all comes down to this. That God so loved you. He sent His Son for you. He died for you. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of everything within us to give to Him, because He first loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus is the way. The perfect is the way. The Word is the way. The church, the kingdom, God is the way. And He gives it to all freely. Who will come? If you have not this morning been washed in the blood of the Lamb, then I want you to know that all God can see is the imperfections that are within you. But if you have been cleansed through the blood of the Lamb, I want you to realize that only God can see the perfection that is within you through Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you want to be perfect in the sight of God, you need to put on Jesus Christ in baptism. You need to do so without hesitation. Because this is what separates you from being one of God's children. Become one of His. Become one of God's children. Become perfect through Jesus Christ. And do so this morning. Come, all together we stand and sing.